Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Man, I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try. I'm getting really good at barely getting by. Got everything I own by the sweat of my brow. From my four-wheel drive to my cowboy boots, I owe it all to my blue-collar roots. Feel like I'm working overtime on a runaway train. I got to bust loose from this ball and chain. I'm a hard-working man. I got it all on the line for a piece of the promised land. And I'm burning my candle.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
I'm a hard-working man. I wear a steel hard hat. I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I can't get ahead no matter how hard I try. I'm getting really good at barely getting by. Got everything I own by the sweat of my...
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in tonight. I'm here for a special edition. This is supposed to be Women of Redneckinize on Wednesdays, but I'm filling in and we're swapping out this week because we all got things going on. So we say, hey, can you cover tonight and I'll cover tomorrow? Or, you know, what night do you want to be and all that? So I'll be at a function tomorrow and just said, hey, you know what? I'll cover tomorrow. You cover tonight. I got something to do. I said, okay, no problem. So we made a switch and worked out all together. So yeah, here, Redneckinize. This is Redneckinize Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can follow us on redneckinize.com. You can give us a call here, 515-602-9731. And give us a shout-out. We're also got an email address. I got it posted on YouTube right there. You can see it, redneckinize@usa.com. And my little graphic, the picture, the picture in picture has got it covered up. That's all right. It's redneckinize@usa.com. Like I said, go check us out, redneckinize.com. You can send us a shout out there on our website as well. It's got all our information where you can contact us. We also, you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, educational nonprofit, so you can check us out there. We also take donations. We got a PayPal button set up there. We also got Zelle and all kinds of stuff. So check it out. Consider donating because this is what we do. We create just a platform to where truck drivers can talk, truck drivers can call in, you know, share information, knowledge, complaints, whatever you got, you know, we'll talk about it. We started this podcast just because the pandemic slowed everything down, and we normally go to all the truck shows, and we had all these truck shows lined up, and of course, you know, we go to Louisville. We did that a lot. But we couldn't do that in 2020, so we said, you know what we can do is we reach out to the people as we're getting down the road, especially we had, what do you call, you know, the pandemic. We were trying to get out, trying to tell everybody about everything, what was going on, and, of course, about, you know, just trucking in general and trying to help people, help the just the American population understand truck drivers a little better. So we had these different deals made up. It's Redneck and I's, the Do-It-Yourself Truckers. Our mission is to provide entertaining and common-sense education about the trucking industry and the American people and beyond. And that was one of the main goals there. See, there it is right here. It says, we came together as a small group of truckers that had the idea to share common-sense knowledge of what it takes to be a do-it-yourself trucker. We also had the goal to educate the American public on how to operate safely around big trucks. And really it is, you know, there's a lot of common sense stuff that doesn't get taught in the schools, common sense stuff that drivers normally don't like to share. Like we were just sitting there thinking about it. You can't really say a lot of things because, you know, that's not necessarily textbook savvy to where you can say this. And as long as everybody follows it, everything's fine. But the problem is the way you interpret any kind of instructions could lead open to, you know, other drivers doing something that they probably shouldn't do. And that's the thing is that you just never know. And the common sense stuff, it's like, hey man, it's not that hard, you know? So we get out there and do that. You know, we talk about some of the stuff out there driving. If you're out there driving last night, like I was, common sense stuff, like keeping right, except when passing, you know, always looking ahead, maintaining your following distance. What do you call high beams? Man, I tell you what, I drive at night. I've been driving at night for probably going over 2 years now on my regular route here. And it's, yeah, high beams. Man, oh man, it's crazy. So anyway, we try to get out there and do that kind of stuff and teach drivers the importance of that and everything. So you just never know how that's going to work out. But before I go any further, let's see, I'm talking about headlines here. Let's see what's going on here. Made the national news today. They have the White House even getting involved with the possible freight rail strike that might happen. It should happen sometime. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen on Friday evening, which it won't really affect anybody till Monday morning. But again, here in Redneck and I, we just don't think it's going to be a big deal, because what's going to happen is that the rates are going to drive up. Because if you're out there right now and you're hauling freight and it's a struggle, maybe you get into the Chicago area or the Northeast or anything, and that's kind of your normal gig, or maybe you don't haul that much, my advice, get your truck fixed up, maybe get your oil changed, get all your maintenance stuff out of the way, because come Monday morning, if you're in the Chicago area or you're in any kind of major city like Miami, New York City, Los Angeles, anywhere, what's going to happen is that freight is going to be need to move, because the trains ain't running. So there's going to be some freight that needs to be moved. So get ready to move it and set your price, right? Prices are going to go up, make you money, get out there and do it. So that's one of the things that's been happening here this week. And a bunch of other things got introduced. Senate now is trying to buy votes, like the caller called in yesterday, trying to buy votes to win elections, where they're trying to promise truck drivers that they're going to pass a law that blows out the exemption for overtime pay. So it's going to mandate that all truck drivers get overtime pay, which I talked to my boss this morning. Me and him kind of shoot the breeze every now and then about things going on in the world. And he said, yeah, if they came down and said that we can no longer pay more, you know, we have to pay overtime for over 40 hours, we're not going to pay overtime. He said, I can guarantee you that. He said, we would hire another driver just so we wouldn't have to pay overtime, because we're not going to do that. We'll get the work done. So in the plus side, everybody's going to have a job because there'll be more people needing to work. But if you're out there right now working for a company like the company that I work for, and you can get 50, 55, 60 hours a week and make good money, that's going to stop. You're going to work 40 hours, and that's it. That's all you're going to work, 40 hours. So, you know, he says, I don't see them lowering the pay rate. I don't see them raising it either. So it's going to be 40 hours. That's how it's going to work. So yeah. I mean, certain places pay lower and pay more and pay less or whatever. So that, you know, that'll be it. But it's like, you know, 40 hours, that's it. You know, hey, that's great. But if you're used to working 55 hours a week, you know, making $1,500, $1,600 a week, and then next thing you know, you're knocked down to 40, and it's right at $1,000 a week. You know, then you got to take out taxes and expenses and benefits and all that. It's a cut. It's a big cut. So a lot of drivers would not like that. I know I wouldn't. So that's something to think about. Excuse me. There we go. Had to come back on that. But anyway, so yeah, check us out, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining in. Let's see here. That's funny. There we go. All right, cool deal. So check us out, like I said, redneckandeyes.com. Before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. You can download their app from the App Store. Check them out, truckertools.com. That's the app where you can book freight and track freight, but they also got it where you plan your routes. You can find fuel stops, truck stops, parking, maintenance, Walmarts. Just, you know, they got everything in there where you can track where you're going, making sure you got a place to be when you get stopped. But if you are in the system where you're going to be shopping around for freight, that's one of the great places to do it too. So truckertools.com, or download their app from your App Store on your cell phone. And appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So yeah, check us out there. If you got anything to add, give us a holler, 515-602-9731. And let me see here. We're also on YouTube Live right now, so appreciate everybody doing that. And I go for a little chat on what's going on in the trucking industry as far as trucking news goes. And like I said, the strike, you know, once that happens or once that gets resolved, we'll find out what's going to happen during the holidays, because that really could affect if the strike slows everything down. Because, you know, they're starting to ship. If you're out there in the shipping yards right now moving freight, I guarantee you there's Christmas stuff in there. And that's they get ahead of that real quick. They already start thinking about it. So, but yeah, that's it. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Let me go all the way down here, because I wasn't down here this time. There we go. So, yeah, check us out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. We're all on YouTube Live right now. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we'll be talking about a couple of things in the trucking industry when I come back. So check it out. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. I'm glad to see your face. I knew we'd meet again another time, another place. Can't believe it's been so many years. You better grab a chair and a couple of beers. Looking good in your three-piece suit. You know I always knew you'd take the business route. You were always the one to follow the light. And you look like you're doing all right. Yeah. Been singing for my rent, singing for my supper. I'm above the below and below the upper. I'm stuck in the middle where money gets tight. But I guess I'm doing all right. I'm all right. It's a beautiful day, not a cloud in sight, so I guess I'm doing all right. I'm all right. I got a good old friend here with me tonight, and I guess I'm doing all right.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Came in as the sun came up. She bled at me, over her coffee cup. She said, where you been? So I thought real hard and said, I fell asleep in that hammock in the yard. She said, you don't know it, boy, but you just blew it. And I said, well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness and I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I Radio. So we've been talking about things going on in the trucking industry, and, you know, of course, we got the strike looming in the railroad industry, so that might affect trucking next week as rates might increase. You got to get out there. Like I said, if you got a truck out there and you're trying to make some money, get it all serviced, get ready to go, because come Monday morning in the major cities around the country, you're going to probably need to get to work and make and set your price. Get out there and do it. Ain't too much else going on. There was a push for overtime exemption. You know, Congress is trying to debate that right now. And of course, like the caller said yesterday, they're just trying to buy votes. And of course, football. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I got to tell you, I don't wish ill will, but with anybody, but Dak Prescott getting hurt is probably the best thing that's ever happened to the Cowboys. They need to reassess everything about who their choice of quarterback needs to be. I've said it years ago, and I keep saying it now. The Cowboys ain't never going to do anything like Jerry Jones is running things. It's one of those things where the one guy goes, well, I'm not real sure if his son takes over, if he doesn't have the same kind of mentality. And I said, well, his son at least knows and is smart enough to realize that he don't know everything. And the problem is Jerry Jones just thinks he knows everything about football. And that's what happens when you're not that good of a football player, but you were a member of a undefeated team back in the 60s that beat the Longhorns in the Cotton Bowl. And I think they won the national championship that year. I'm not real sure. But I don't know. If you're out there and if you're a fan of a different team, maybe you're a fan of the Steelers. I know the Steelers got a good history. What do you call San Francisco 49ers got a good history. Green Bay Packers, great history. If you got a team out there, one of those teams that's got some kind of great history hook to it, even if it's a team that I don't really know anything about, and you've got, I don't know, do you have history in your team that you know? Like they can make a good hour or 2 hour documentary about the football team altogether. So the Dallas Cowboys, of course, started in 1960. And the cool thing was is that, you know, they went and they got a coach. The coach was from the University of Texas. He was a valedictorian. And he was a football player, really smart, from the Valley. He said he was coaching and playing back in the 50s. Okay, 1960, the new owner, general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, Tex Schramm, said, hey, I want to make not only the team good, but iconic to where people will come watch us play just because of the people, not because of how we're playing. And when he got Tom Landry, that's what he did. Tom Landry was like the pride of Texas. If anybody was that knew anything about sports back then, because sports really wasn't covered like it is now. You know, sports was kind of just an afterthought. Excuse me. Yeah, but sports was just an afterthought. News ruled the cycle for like politics and everything. You know, nowadays it's like they'll cut off the news to show you a sporting event. Back then they didn't do that. So knowing about sports was really one of those things where they're like, you know, why are you talking about that? Who cares? And so if you were that person that followed that, you knew that Tom Landry was in football world, like awesome, really smart, you know, very competitive. And then, of course, he was great at everything. Well, he starts coaching the Cowboys, and immediately they start doing pretty well. And they go out and they get some great people that were from Texas. That was the main point, because that's how Texas is. We're always about pride. So he did this, and of course, he built this dynasty, you know, through the 70s and early 80s and 60s, 70s and 80s. early 80s, with winning championships and always being in contention. And to this day, okay, Bill Belichick might be getting close to breaking the record, but 22 years of consecutive winning seasons that has never been done before and never has been done since. Tom Landry holds that record, and that is the best record for that in the history of NFL. Is no other coach, no other team has won, has had a winning record for more consecutive seasons than the Dallas Cowboys. So what happened was back in the 2000s, they had this history of the Dallas Cowboys in DVD. It's like 2 hours. And they had a bunch of other little excerpts. Like they had a little 30-minute thing about Bob Lilly and what he's doing now and what he did, all he did through his career, Roger Staubach, all that stuff. And if you're out there and you're a fan of another team and maybe you do a lot of collecting of memorabilia, but I've never seen this done on any other sports team, okay? But there was an actual hour-long – no, not – it was about 30 minutes. It's not that long. But it was just a little documentary about Jerry Jones on the DVD, like on the extras, you know, little extra sides. And I've never seen that done before where the owner is like, hey, yeah, team's great. You know, these players are great, but here, check my story. You know? Other teams out there, you guys, if you follow the team hardcore in your local area, like let's say that you live in the Washington, D.C. area, or you live in the Philadelphia area or the Pittsburgh area or the Chicago area, you turn on the TV, 2 hours before game time, there's always this like, you know, we're talking about the team. We're talking about the game today, and we're going to have the coach, right? Interview the coach. This is the so-and-so show, whoever. Well, so the Cowboys got that. With the local channels carry this, you know, the head coach of the football team does a 30-minute show every week, and it airs like the morning, Sunday morning or whatever, talking about that game that they're going to be playing and how things are going along. The Cowboys do it too. You know what else the Cowboys do? There is the Jerry Jones show. 30 minutes in the mornings before the game, the owner of the team, Jerry Jones, comes out there and he talks about what's going on. And he doesn't talk about front office stuff. He doesn't talk about stuff like that. He doesn't talk about the politics of the games, you know, or the NFL in general. No. No, he talks about strategy, how we're going to win. Why are you talking about that? You're not on the field calling the shots. Maybe he is. Everybody says it. Jerry Jones calls the plays from the booth. You know, Jerry Jones sets the starting lineup. Everybody says that. And the more and more if you pay attention just to Jerry Jones and what he does, what he says, you start believing it too, because that man's crazy. He is in charge. He's the Al Davis right now. He is Al Davis. Oakland Raiders, another great team with great history. Al Davis, that's who Jerry Jones is right now. We thought for a while there that Jerry Jones was going to put on a headset just like Al Davis did. Jerry Jones didn't do it, you know. And same way. You know, I don't even know, like I said, I don't know the history of the Raiders to see. I think Al Davis, I mean, maybe he should have been the owner when they won the Super Bowl, but they didn't win that many. But it's kind of like when the word started getting out of how he controls the team, you know, people stop trying to work for him, and next thing you know, he's got a crappy team with no good coach because nobody wants to work for him. That's how the Cowboys are. Nobody worth a damn. You know, Bill Parcells was probably the biggest named coach. Mike McCarthy, who cares? You know, when you got great talented people, you're going to win. You know, I don't think McCarthy is that good of a coach. He's one of those guys. He runs a program. He knows how to delegate authority, kind of thing. You know, but other than that, he is collecting a check. I mean, he's probably pretty smart for doing that, but. Bill Parcells came in and tried to change things, and there for a while there, he was doing pretty good. He was on track, and then next thing you know, all hell broke loose. I'll give you an interesting history note about the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody knows this because people now, if you followed it, Bill Parcells was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. They had pretty much revamped the whole program, remember? They got rid of some players, got rid of coaches, brought in some new people, all that kind of stuff, and just built another team from ground up. And Bill Parcells was integral in that. He brought in new coaches and everything, right? The offensive coordinator this is before Romo. You know, we had Bledsoe. We brought in Testaverde for a while, you know, all those guys. And Parcells was just trying to build a team, but he was trying to bring in experienced quarterbacks. That way he wouldn't have to go, you know, build a quarterback. His offensive coordinator at the time was Sean Payton, the current head coach for – he's not in New Orleans anymore, is he? I think they fired him because of all that stuff with all the corruption or something. I don't know. But anyway, Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator. Bill Parcells coming to the end of the contract. The whole plan was that Parcells was going to step down and let Sean Payton take over. And this was right around before all that. So he's got Sean Payton as offensive coordinator. He's trying to build a team. He needs a quarterback. He can't find a good quarterback. Sean Payton, who went to, Northern Illinois is the name of the college? He played for the Chicago Bears for a little while. During the player strike, Sean Payton was the quarterback of Chicago Bears under Mike Ditka when they were on strike. He wasn't that good to actually make the team, but he was good enough to be a replacement player. So Sean Payton played football, played quarterback for the Chicago Bears during the strike. So anyway, he's the offensive coordinator. He goes up to Parcells and says, hey, you need to look at this guy, Romo. And he's like, who? Everybody's like, who? Romo. You know what? I'll look it up just to make sure I'm not messing anything up. Come on now. That's everything. We don't want that. So, and they don't, it's like you got to go look for everything. Eastern Illinois. That's what it is. Eastern Illinois, not Northern Illinois. Eastern Illinois is where Eastern Illinois. So Sean Payton went to Eastern Illinois, graduated, you know, or whatever. He played football there, became a coach in the NFL, offensive coordinator, Dallas Cowboys. Since he's alumni of Eastern Illinois, he knows about Tony Romo, went to Eastern Illinois. Tony Romo, and I'll go back, and I'm pretty sure it's in here. Let's see. They said, yeah. So he won the Walter Payton Award in Eastern Illinois. Now, Walter Payton Award is like the Heisman Trophy for the lower schools, if you do that. So he wasn't drafted because he's going to a small school. He's not going to a big school. He's not noticed. Nobody's watching him. Eastern Illinois, okay? What conference are they in, right? So he's a very good player, wins all these awards, wins championships. Nobody looks at him because he's in a small college. Sean Payton goes up to Bill Parcells and says, you need to look at this kid. They bring him in, and they sign him as a backup. And I forgot who it was. Somebody went down. Bledsoe, I think, got hurt. Again, Bledsoe gets hurt. Another quarterback steps up. That's what happened to Tom Brady, if anybody doesn't know. he starts playing really good. And, of course, everybody likes him, right? And he's like Dak Prescott. I mean, Tony Romo came in and played great as a backup, just like Prescott did. And then after that, it was all crap. But anyway, so Romo is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys now. Everybody loves him. Sean Payton is credited for finding him and everything. I guess they get along well because they come from the same schools and all that. So, and Sean's teaching him and all that good stuff. So then Katrina happens. Sean Payton was set to take over Parcells. And when they renew his contract, Parcells' contract, he was supposed to retire. He's supposed to be done. And Sean Payton was going to take over. Well, it was announced that his contract got renewed for another like 2 or 4 years, whatever. Sean Payton's like, what the hell, man? I thought I was going to take over. And they're like, yeah, not yet. And he's like, you know what? My contract's up. I'm going to go look around. I'm going. And I'm going to look around. And lo and behold, New Orleans, because of Katrina and all their turmoil, they were looking to spend some money and to bring in a new atmosphere. So they wanted to do something, and they went and hired Sean Payton. The first thing Sean Payton did when he got the job for New Orleans Saints is he got on the phone to Bill Parcells, and he said, can I have Romo? And Parcells is like, let me call you back. Talks to Jerry Jones. They like Romo. Everybody likes Romo. They tell Sean Payton no. So the New Orleans Saints got stuck with Drew Brees. He was not the first choice. Tony Romo was the first choice for Sean Payton. And Drew Brees, everybody thought his career was over. He had a busted knee. He was trying to come back. And everybody said, he's not no good. He's not that good. New Orleans is stuck with him because he's the only decent guy left. Sean Payton takes him. What do they do? I mean, they won one Super Bowl. Did they go to more than one? I forget. See, I can't remember all that stuff. I mean, I know they won one, right? Not only that, he got passing records. Not only that, they were in contention. I mean, the one thing that you can say about football teams is they're always in contention. Tom Landry was always in contention. Okay, yeah, he went to 5 Super Bowls, won 2. Didn't win 3, only won 2. So his record in the Super Bowl is really that, but he went to 5. But how many championship games did they go to? See, you don't even know that, right? How many championship games, how many NFC championship games Tom Landry go to? And they went to a lot. They went to, I think it was 12 in the span of 20 years. So, I mean, you want to talk about dynasty. Dallas Cowboys, 60s and 70s, you know. I mean, it started like in 66 and went all the way to 86, winning record. So, yeah, that's what they were doing. So you're talking about New Orleans Saints got stuck with Drew Brees. Sean Payton wanted Tony Romo, not Drew Brees. And then they ended up doing what they did. So, really, I mean, what the hell, man? You know? It's all about who you got at coaching, the right timing and all that like that. And Jerry Jones just never has that, never has that timing of finding a great coach at the great time where they're at the peak of their career, where they get the right people. Jerry Jones has this loyalty. Jerry Jones is like Donald Trump. He's got this loyalty itch to where if you're loyal to him, he'll keep you. Look at all these coaches and staff members that have been working for the Dallas Cowboys. What is his name? Was it Dave Campo? Was that the guy? He was the head coach for a while. He's been a Dallas Cowboy. He's been on the coaching staff ever since the beginning as a low-level guy. He's always been a low-level guy. And because he's loyal to Jerry Jones, he's always just getting moved up. How do you get a job when a new coach comes in and you don't lose your job? How does that happen? How does a guy like Dave Campo, who's really, I mean, I don't know how smart he is. He wasn't a great coach, head coach, you know, but he keeps jobs. How does he do that? How do new head coaches come and go, but you never lose your job with the one team? I thought that the head coach was in charge of creating his own staff. But apparently that's not the case. Jerry Jones says, you know, no, that's my guy, that's my guy, that's my guy, you guys stay here. If I was a head coach, why would I want to work for somebody that's going to tell me I can't hire and fire people, that those people there? And then next thing you know, they're the ones that are turncoating on you. They're the ones not backing you up. It's like, when you're trying to go over the owner's head and do what you think is right, and you're not worried about the consequences of what the owner might say, these guys, they're going to go tell on you. You know? It's just silly stuff, man. So, yeah, the Cowboys, they got drama, man. It's all I can tell you as a fan, if you're a fan of a football team and they're not doing that good, stop giving them money. That's all it is. You know, watching them on TV, that's one thing. You know, but buying their stuff, buying tickets to the games, especially buying tickets to the games, and then ordering like authentic material online, the shirts and the hats and all that. Just, you know, be done with it. Don't do it no more. You know, go buy your Redneck and I shirt instead of buying one of those football jerseys of somebody, a team that never wins. That's what I do, right? But yeah, it's stuff like that, man. I love football, and I love the history of it, the whole, you know. I mean, just imagine, Drew Brees was not the first choice for the New Orleans Saints, and if you're a Saints fan and you know, you're like, wow, you know what I mean? You might have had Romo. Oh, man. And then to this day, Romo has, like, cowboy records. Like, he's thrown touchdown passes and yards and all that for a single season, crap like that. I hate that. I hate records. I hate, you know, Dak Prescott right now, this last game, okay? The Dallas Cowboy Facebook page had it on there, like, Monday. And I just, oh, man, it's so stupid. So Dak Prescott, this last game, he didn't play the whole game, okay? But up until the point that he had to leave the game, he has right now an NFL record of highest completion percentage. Or was it quarterback rating? Whatever it is. Yeah, quarterback rating. You know, in the percentages, it's like around, it's like over 100%. It's like 100, 180, 150, 160, whatever it is. So he has the highest quarterback rating in a single game for that one game. And he didn't even play the whole game. But he had, because he left the game, he has the highest. So he'll be always remembered as the single game quarterback rating, highest, like 147. Man, only one stat matters in the NFL. Wins and losses. That's all it is. Okay? Wins and losses. You don't win, nothing else matters. Ask Dan Marino. Ask Dan Marino if he'll say, would you trade all of your records for Super Bowls? He'll say, hell yeah. I'd rather be remembered as a Super Bowl champion than as a record holder. He said that already. You know? Ask, was it Jim Kelly? Same deal. Ask him. You know, I mean, Jim Kelly is actually in the worst scenario than Dan Marino, because Dan Marino only went to one Super Bowl. Jim Kelly went to four in 4 years. So every single year for 4 years, he was the best quarterback in the AFC. Got his butt whooped the Super Bowl every year. You know, it's crazy. And he would tell you, I don't care about those records. I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to win the championship. That's what matters. Nothing else matters in the NFL. Ask any player, linebacker, offensive lineman, water boy, doesn't matter. Wins and losses, records, all that crap, no matter. You know, right now, what's that kid's name? Parsons, that's a linebacker for the Cowboys. You watch, okay, his contract will be up and he ain't staying. He's going somewhere else. He's going to go win. I guarantee he's going to go win. I know a lot of those guys, when you say they play their whole career at the Cowboys, either they're not good enough to go anywhere else, or they're getting paid damn good money just to stay to be a Cowboy. And a lot of times, you know, fame might take over, where it's more important for you to be loved, you know, than to be like on a championship team where you might not play. You know, you got to look at all these guys out there right now. You know, I was the same way when I was a kid, actually. You know, you get promoted up to varsity fast, but guess what? You're the second string. You know, I was kind of like, you know what? I'd rather be on JV where I got to play a lot instead of being on the sideline for varsity. You know, I want to play. And maybe that's the case in a lot of these players. They stay with the Cowboys because they know they're going to play, because they're the best player. You go somewhere else, you might not be the best player. I don't know. Ain't much of nothing else going on. There's a game tomorrow. Who's playing tomorrow? Is that the Chargers against the Chiefs in Kansas City? You know, I was talking about that this on Monday. All of the games for the NFL? Like, okay, the Lions, right? It's KC by 4. It's Giants by 2. Colts by 4. The Ravens play the Dolphins. They're 3.5. You got looks like Cleveland over the Jets, 6.5. Pittsburgh over New England. Actually, I think New England's favored there, 2 by 2. And then Tampa Bay over New Orleans, 2.5. Washington over Detroit, 1.5. Actually, here's a big one. The Rams are favored over the Falcons, 10.5. Seattle over San Francisco, 9. That's really high for an NFL game. Actually, you got Houston over Denver. No, I think Denton. Actually, Denver's looks like Denver's favored by 10 over Houston. Cincinnati favored over the Cowboys by 7.5. And Arizona over Vegas, 5.5. Actually, that's probably Houston over Denver. There's a lot of 10s and 9s. You always said it was, like, really low. Like, the line was always between, like, you know, 2 and 6. It's never really that much because anything can happen in the NFL. But college football is always in the 20s, teens, especially when their teams are so unevenly matched. But all the over-unders, I mean, you got 50.5, 48, 42, 41, 51, 45, 41, 46, 49, 40, 40. 44, nothing under 40, 43, 54, 44, 45. So, yeah. So, tomorrow night, it's the Chiefs by 4, and the over-under is that 54? Yep, 54. So if you don't know that, the over-under is the total of points that both teams will score. That's why they're in the 40s, because they're predicting that both teams will score at least 20 points. 54, well, I mean, Kansas City going to run it up. That's going to be a good game. It says on Amazon. I'm not real sure if it's going to be on any TV channel, but it says it's going to be streaming on Amazon. So that's going to be a new deal. Pretty much all the sporting events are probably going to go to streaming. It's going to be a case where you're going to be able to watch any game you want. It should be. It should be right now. The NFL has this thing about market, about because the owners don't, like, all the owners want their games to be played in their market. That's how they sell merchandise. That's how they sell tickets. You want to entice people that live near you to come to the games. So anytime that there's a game, you want to show it. Back in the day, they used to do the blackout. Remember, if they didn't sell the game out, they would black the game out in the local area, like a punishment kind of thing. They haven't done that in years. And I think that's kind of the deal they made with the market. They want to keep that. They want to keep the market where the games can only be played in their market. So if you know, just notice that when your team is playing, let's say you live in Tennessee, and what's going to happen is that the Titans, when the Titan game is on, there's no other game on. You know, that Titan game is the only game being played on TV. You cannot watch any other game. So if the Titans play at noon, there's no other game at noon. There might be two games after that where you can choose which one you want to watch, but while the Titans are on, you can't choose. You have to watch that game. And the NFL does this because the owners, that's what the owners want. So I think as far as fans go, to me, in my opinion, it should be every game should be on TV somewhere, like streaming. That's where it's going to be at. Where I could watch anything I want. I want to watch whatever I want. If I don't want to watch the Cowboys, I shouldn't have to watch the Cowboys. I should be able to watch any other game I want. The problem down here in South Texas is that the Cowboys kind of rule the market because of the ratings, because people like to watch Cowboys. There are a lot more Cowboy fans than there are Texan fans. So down here, they'll play both games. But if the Cowboy game is on, there might not be another game on. But if the Texans game is on, there might be another game on. So like yesterday, well, the primetime thing just throws everything out of whack, because when it's when your team, your local team plays in a primetime time slot, then everything's out the window. Nobody matters, because that's the only game on. You know, Cowboys played Sunday night. That's the only game on Sunday night. So during the day, you had actually that. So this last Sunday here in where I live, there were four games in the afternoon, two games at noon and two games. And the funny thing is that if the Texans were playing, that there shouldn't have been any other game on, but there was, because somehow Jerry Jones got it flagged. I think the only Houston Texan market is the Houston area, or that part of East Texas over there. Everything else is Cowboys. San Antonio is Cowboys Nation, buddy. Ain't nothing, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I tell everybody that in the state of Texas, there are more Cowboy fans that live outside the city of Dallas than live around it in the area. In the DFW area, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are more Cowboy fans in the rest of the state. And it's equal. I mean, there are a lot of people that do not like the Dallas Cowboys that live in the DFW area. Texas Rangers is a big one. I mean, you should see the Yankee game. When there's a Yankee game in the Texas, the Texas Rangers play the Yankees, there are more Yankee fans than there are Ranger fans. I mean, there's a lot. So yeah, but you know, that's Texas, because everybody moves here for the jobs, because that's where everything's at. So yep, but drug driving, the way I see it in sports, is that just tell me when the games are for starting or letting out or whatever. That way I know where to avoid the traffic. Cool deal. Well, I think we're going to wind it down here. I'm pretty well done with my little rant for the day and talking about football. I love football. So you want to talk about football? Call in, man. 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining today. Knocking everything out. Let's see. Keep on going down this list here. What do we got? Here you go. There you go. So check it out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. You can find all the links to information at redneckandeyes.com, or all the links to our social media accounts. Think of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I can mention is Load to Ride Transportation. Go check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Let's see here. And there's LTR Transportation right there. Boom. So go check them out, ltrtransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation. Great little trekking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. Well, I appreciate all their support at Redneck and Eyes. You can also give them a call at 720-277-0030. So until next time, Tiff will be here tomorrow, and then I'll be back Friday. How's that? So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And drop us a line there. Go to redneckandeyes.com, and you'll see it where it says drop us a line. You can send us an email, redneckandeyes@usa.com. Appreciate everybody's support today. So y'all go check it out, and you'll see y'all later. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Funny thing. One day you're giving up the dream, and the next you're picking out a ring. Out of the blue, clear sky. If she comes a walking, talking true love, saying I've been looking for you, love. Surprise, your new love has arrived. Out of the blue, clear sky. If she comes to walking, talking through love, saying I've been looking for new love. Surprise, your new love has arrived out of the blue.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck-anize.